that are talking about is our health section, it's our week 6 session. So we're going to be talking about priorities of the family. And, but before I get into priorities, Kathy and I have been talking about just some things that God has laid on her heart that I think kind of dovetail into priorities of the family. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture that she's going to be taking this time. The portion that she's talking about. If you have a Bible, it's in Psalm 127. And it's a really long chapter. It's a whole 5 verses. So you won't have to hold that too long here. So Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And that's kind of by the way, that's how we started with tonight. Unless we start on prayer, we're going to miss in vain. We might as well stay home and watch TV. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And in vain, verse 2 says, in vain you rise early and you stay up late, trying for food to eat, for you grant sleep to those you love. And why am I in verse 3? Maybe on your Bible. Every time technology issues, and it looks like the prayer decided to chop off verse 3, so let's go back and look at this here a little bit. Okay, so let's just back up to verse 2. And being rise early and stay up late, trying for food to eat, for any kind of sleep to those who love. Verse 3, sins are a heritage from the Lord, children are reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, her son is born in with you. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they complain of their enemies in the day. So I'm going to have Kathy go ahead and share her heart on these verses, just because I think because of the passion she has to be able to share those with them. And then you'll see, hopefully, as we go into priorities, you'll see how those verses dovetail into the things that we're talking about.
I just wanted to say this with you. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's builders labor in vain. We can do everything that our study tells us to do. We can clean out everything we're going to do with our kids. I'm going to be strong in the discipline, or I'm going to do all these things. But it's all in vain if it's not around what the Lord has to do. It's not what he tells us to do, and it's not what he plans for our life. And then the second one, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Last week we talked a bunch about protecting our kids and being diligent in that. And we need to be diligent in that. You know, protecting them against the things of the internet. But here again, it's all in vain if it's in our own strength. It really has to be the Lord doing, building our house, the Lord protecting them. This touched my heart. We have had teen drivers, and I was struggling to not live in fear. And I know I was lecturing them, you know, oh, you're going to do these things. And you know how teen boys are, you know, those in this side, not the other. And I was all afraid, and it hit me. I can stand guard all I want, but if the Lord is not in it, then it's all in vain. And so we all want to be the best parents. We all set out that way and we want to be the best parents. But if the Lord is not the priority of our life, it's all in vain. And so, and here we'll share on the next verse about the toiling for food to eat. Maybe that's it. Just that we have to be centered around the Lord. It has to be our priority, or it's all in vain. We just can't do it. We're not strong enough.
Yeah, the way we had that intelligent vision, she was going to go through tonight. You know, maybe God. But it didn't work this. As we're talking about priorities, we're going to hear the main thing that we should hear is that we need the Lord to do it. And I don't know. I'm going to do my best to try to just explain that. But you know, Okay. So that's how we're going to be successful in parenting. And continue tonight's lesson. We're going to talk about priorities in the family specifically. And what does that look like? What are some things that are good for family? What are some things that are bad for family? Some of them, I think, you're going to know, I've heard before, because you know how that's the world. Hopefully, there's something that maybe you haven't heard that the Holy Spirit will use. Talk about it, and so whatever we're talking about tonight, hopefully, hopefully, I think the Holy Spirit will be faithful to work that out in you guys. So the bottom line is thinking about this, and to me, the bottom line for priorities and what's going to have a direct impact on the priorities in your family is going to be where your focus is. And if I didn't do it already, so it shouldn't surprise you that I'm not telling you to change your focus on. It's going to directly impact your priorities. There's a couple of verses I thought about as we were preparing for tonight. The first one is in Matthew 6:21. And Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And when Jesus speaks, now listen. You're focused on treasures on this earth. There's your heart, that's where your heart's going to be. And that's what we're going to want your heart to be. We want your priorities to be your family. That is, that's your first ministry. If you're willing to have kids, that's your ministry. Christ is not understanding. I don't know if we're going to handle it. And I always thought, I need to start a full-time ministry in the church. And somebody said, well, that's your family. And I said, no, that's not my name. And what I learned is that your family is your ministry. And what I learned is the bottom line is that if my kids are evidently not trustworthy, if my kids are trashy, or whatever. And that they love all their heart, and all their soul, all their strength. And they're serving in the church, and their family's prospering, and their kids love the Lord. And do I succeed as a father? Absolutely. And the world looks on it and tells us the same thing, and the rest is the same thing. And that's what I mean. Is that we have to get our heads out of the world's economy. And we have to look at it God's way. So, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us the eyes of your heart to understand and to see. The other verse I thought about was, and this is the English Standard Version. If you read the Bible, it's an idea if you're interested. But the next verse is, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness and the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So the question I have for you is, do you believe that through God's divine power that He's granted you everything for life and godliness? Ask yourself. If you don't, it's okay. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to believe that. I want to believe that you have given me everything I need. Because there's a resource. That's where we get plugged in. So we get filled from that resource. God gives everything you need to be in every moment, every day. We pour that into our family, and that becomes our focus, and we see that God's way, that, you know, God's economy being. And then he's there and he's taking control. It doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect. us no sense in every primary and every realm of us. So, when you see the primary in heaven, you'll help us. You'll all of us help. So, if you don't get anything else, you'll have to be the center of what we're doing. And you get from the bottom of your heart. Okay, so in both verses of life, so what we have to say about it is, we believe that our treasure needs to be based in heaven, where we need to look at things in God's economy, and we need to focus on His priorities and the things that He wants for our family. So, let me just pose a few questions to you. Of this. Such a full occupational, like, that time, I think this is about the same time, Kathy started really thinking about her praying and reading the Bible, not out there with a clicker on the TV, doing my own thing. And this is before kids, right? And it used to frustrate me sometimes. It's interesting when you get your priorities right before the Lord, all of a sudden my identity changed. No matter what I did for a living, no matter what I did in this life, how the parent accounted for anything, was that what the Lord wanted for my life. Do we believe, like Ephesians in Ephesians 2, do we believe that God has a plan for each one of us? And then he set that plan in motion before the world began. Do we believe that? Well, that's what you're looking at. What is God's plan for our life? If you're looking at God's plan for your life, and your focus is on the Lord, and your identity is in the Lord, and it's going to apply to ladies too. If our identity is in who it should be in, that's half the battle. If you're not working on that relationship, if you're not trying to get to know the Lord, when problems arise, just don't all of a sudden stand up and do the right thing. You have to do it when times are good and things are going well, so that when the storms come, the light that I need to do, you have to know what's right. Let's not say what God's going to do in this situation. Make sense? So the world's economy and having money is success, and we're right in the middle of this right now, where we have in marriage, as we prepare kids for marriage. There's a lot of talk about finances. What do these kids need to be successful? How much do we need in their savings account? What kind of job do they need to have? If we're not careful, we start looking at even how we start out as a married couple, as mentioned to twist the way the world does. And if you just think about it, when you first got married, did you have six-figure income? Did you have big bucks in the bank? No. Kathy and I, my first medical leave was a $10. We went to an auction to buy a $10 box of junk. And our microwave was in the bottom. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. Our first wage is $20. It's not bad. First, I don't even know how to get out of it. That's true. It took a lot of years to get out of debt. It's easy to jack it up. You can jack it up in a day or two. And it takes 10 years to get out of it. I don't know. So it looks like we're not going wrong. As a banker, I teach people to come out with that. Well, I don't anymore. I've been convicted of that. If you guys have ever watched this stuff, I think it's opinion number two. It takes bankers to task because we teach wrong. What we do is when you get ready to go to school, we say you need help on account. And not only that, you need a credit card because we need to I said, oh, well, I was going to the bank. They loaned me a credit card. I got from a credit card. I was going to be a loan for college. Came out of school. Came to a call quite away. And I loaned the debt. And what could that be doing? So, what I'm going to try to decide that it all kind of ties together is the economy that we're taught in this world is so, it's so sound. You think it's right. And so we start looking at money and finances as the very first thing that we need for our families. It's not. Because no matter what happens in life, if your focus is right and you're looking at the right things and what God wants for your family, He is what you need. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need a job. But God can help you through anything. Anything. I would encourage you to try to develop a prayer life in His promise if you're not already. Because if you can do that, if you can work through it, when God never thought it, it was uncomfortable. I get it. But if you can work through it, there's a blessing. It's a blessing through your marriage, a blessing through your kids. So I'm just going to pass for free. And I charge you for that. So now I kind of talk back at the same time. Okay, so guys go out, do that job. They're working hard. Gosh, dang it, you guys, you sure work hard. You provide for your family. Awesome. That's what the Bible tells us we should do. Scissors, we got something going on here in the back row. They're trying to get the other person to do it with them and all of the kids. But now I hear all the time from guys and ladies, you know, if I could just have so much work at work, and they go well beyond 8 hours a day, under 40 hours a week, and you know, we're working now 10 hours, 12 hours. Why do we do that? Why do we work on those extra hours? Well, because we can get ahead, right? If we can just pay another dollar on that credit card, I'm not advocating not paying your bills. If you don't need to pay them. But I'm saying that sometimes you have to become your God, too. And you need to focus on work. Work is a big one. And you spend so much time at work. What kind of time are you investing in your family when work is your priority? I have some really good friends in the last couple months. They've been married for 27 years. He is so wrapped up in his job, and basically lost his life, lost his kids. To me, that breaks my heart. But that's the road that we're on as parents and families. That's the direction we're going. So work. What else? Sports. Sports is a really good one. That's the bad part. You must like football or something. So sports. How important are sports? How important should sports be? You know, my kids are in sports. But I told them there was a rule. You can be in sports as long as it doesn't interfere with Wednesday night or Sunday. There was stuff to it. During the time in high school, the thing to do was everybody was in hockey. And I don't mean this, I honestly don't mean this arrogantly. It's just a decision that we made for our family. People said, oh, your kids need to be in hockey. No, our kids need to be in church. Good example of priorities. Put it this way, if Jesus came back tonight and we're in hockey, that's not where we need to be. I'm not advocating every 24/7. You know, you can't do that in the church either, but we need to have consistency. And that leads me kind of into some of our other Pastor Paul wanted me to share some specific memories in the family as it related to church attendance. You know, one of the first ones was the importance of being devoted to regular church attendance. I know a lot of people that know that I get up on Sunday morning and they come out and feel like, I just can't sleep in. You know, God knows my heart. You did it once. You bet it's easier the second time. If it's easier the second time, at least you're going to come once a month. But it's not going to be enough. And I'm not saying do the church legalistically. I'm saying make it a priority. But sometimes I don't want to be here. Tuesday night when I come to men's group and I've been working all day, I'm tired. I come and I leave the group. You know what? Every time I walk away blessed because I see what God is doing in those guys' life. And I walk out more energized. So if this group is such a blessing, I have more energy when I leave than when I walk in. Praise the Lord. So church needs to be a priority. Our kids will know if church is a priority. If, what the word says to not forsake the gathering of ourselves with one another. I don't know exactly what chapter it is, that's it, but it says that. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We encourage one another. We help each other carry burdens. We pray for one another. We need to be here to bless each other. We need to be here to receive from the Lord by hearing the word. But that's just off the top of my head. There's lots of reasons why we need to be here. And we need to establish that in our kids so that our kids, as they get older, they understand. They said, we go to church on Sunday. That's what we're going to do. And there's no question in that case. It's like, Johnny wants me to spend the night. Can I spend the night? We don't want to go to church. Don't be the uniform. They need to go to church. And if you instill that in when they're young, they're not going to be any different. You always go to church on Sunday. Right? Does that make sense? The second thing Paul mentioned, Pastor Paul, is the importance of getting kids involved in church. And it's interesting, our kids have done what I don't know what they did over the years. Some of you have been here for quite some time. Aaron was, I don't know how old he was. He started playing bass. And we were in the other building to start. And he would sit on the bass speaker because he wasn't big enough to hold the bass. And he would play bass when he adult worship. Just as an example. It's kind of funny. But he did a good job. And he stayed with it. He still plays bass today when he gets an opportunity. One of my kids copied CDs in the bookstore of the church. And they wanted to do that. There's something about instilling in their kids that other people, how important other people are. So we're all born selfish. I'm totally selfish. I want to run my all day long. But getting outside of something and looking at other people and saying, what can I do for Dan or Ann today? How can I be a blessing to those guys? And so it's about others. It's not what I'm going to church so that you can do this for me. That's all about me. No. How can I bless Michelle's today? parents with you, that's still not your kids. They grow up looking at broad part of the people's interests. And you think that's in the Bible anywhere? Prefer one another above yourself. Those are all in the scripture. Now, the other thing is, it's funny, as your kids get used to serving, finally, absolutely, they love it. You know, they can assist in Sunday school. They can put cash in. It doesn't matter. Just keep doing something as they get older. And then we might, and then our rule was, if you've committed to it, you follow it through and tell us that. So if they commit to an assistant in Sunday school for the season of fall, and they have to, even if their friends want to do something else, they have to complete it until fall. And we said at the end of fall, you're more than welcome to do something else. If you want to make that kind of time, you want to be signed up for the spring semester too. That was all my idea. You know, I know Ryan's girl puppets. You know, when they were doing puppets in the children's ministry. There's a lot of things. We just have to get creative. Or, you know, the youth, I know Ken, you know, he tries to get the youth involved in doing things. Hector has asked for yard work and stuff around the church. Things to get your kids doing for other people. And I understand 2-year-old, 3-year-old, you can't do that. But when they get to a certain age, you start investing those kinds of things in them. And not only that, so it's a blessing to the church. I mean, a blessing to them, it's a blessing to the church. You know? I don't know how many times over the years people look at, you look at the kids and they say, man, that is so neat to see young people serving in the church. And they're going, well, praise God. I mean, because I didn't start out knowing that. I'm thinking, where did that idea come from? Well, thank you, Lord. You know, He was gracious to us. The other thing is you can have kids that serve outside the church. You know, one of the things that we did every year, and it was just kind of something we started, I don't know if it was by accident or how this started, but we started serving as a family in the upper for Toys for Tots. Only because at the time, we didn't have Toys for Tots here. And we started serving meals, and so we got involved with that when the kids were real small. And now, they have come to depend on our group because we know how it works every year. At clockwork, we get this email. Is your community coming over? And now it's the dams, the classes, the email or dollar laws, things like that. Everybody's involved. And we have the gold room over there, and we pack bags for people that are looking for toys at Christmas stuff for the kids that they can't afford to buy gifts. We do meals, we do turkeys, things like that. I'm not saying that to brag. What I'm saying is that our kids, they become so excited about that. Every year they come to us and say, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. They have a blast. And it's stuff that as a family that, you know, they'll never forget. You know, things you do together, you're blessing other people. You're serving others, and that's the huge part. You know, some kind of creative things like that. You know, there's a need. Pack your kids up. Put together a box for one of them. Use your money. Take it around the house as a family. You know, things like that. So I think you can see, I want to make sure we have time for, you know, just questions and that kind of thing. But I'm going to kind of touch on some things that, just the importance of priorities and what you're sowing into your home. So I'd encourage you guys as a couple, come home and determine what is it. What are the priorities you want for your family? What do you want for your kids? Where do you want them to be? sees in our heart. He knows what our motivation is. He knows what we're about. So be honest. Lord, I've kind of messed up in this area, haven't I? I'm more focused on work. I'm more focused on you fill in the blank, my hobby. Motorcycle riding. Whatever. I'm more focused on this than I am on my family. And here's what I've learned. We need mom and dad. You have to have mom and dad. As my boys have gotten older, they need me more than ever. And because they kind of told me. Your problems become bigger. And because you think parenting stops at 18, maybe you've thought that. And after they're married, parenting doesn't stop. It just changes. You don't need to do that shit. Until they ask for your advice. But they do come back and ask for your advice. They ask for your help. Guaranteed if they have a problem. So I'm going to ask Dan and Ann and Kathy to come. Oh, this is going to be interesting. I sit down on their desk. I put this one down. I'll just sit here. I'll just stand here by. And I think that I just didn't see any questions that you guys wrote down. So I'm going to go with maybe a couple questions that we have, and then we'll just ask you guys for this is our last session, so if you haven't gotten to ask a question, ask it. We'll try to answer it. If it's private, don't leave here without coming and asking. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, bring people around you to support you and encourage you. That's all of us. So we're all in the same boat. So I don't want incessantly upon pray as couples and list others around the way. And God will bring those children around in many, many benefits in heaven. But I've also seen those that have been so indoctrinated that they're, as soon as they get away from everything, they swear no more to set brother and sister in the church. And so those are the things I'd like to go through that. A lot of silence.
I think if you're serving with young kids, and if you make going to church a joy, if they see it in us, they're going to get more from what they see in us than all the words of going to church. But if they see that going to church is a joy, if they join a fellowship with others, it's a joy to learn the Word of God, then when they're little, they will want to be there. And then it will be natural, like you say. They will go through that 13-year age where they sit in church like this. And you will have to remind them body language. Anyway, so they'll go through a period where they're too cool to be in church, but deep inside, they know the importance of it. They've seen it in mom and dad. They've seen it in mom and dad. The light of going to church and being with others and being and serving. And so, like you said, if you can start in that young, that if they're older and you start trying to force them in and it's not already part of their life, it is a balance. You have to be careful that you don't let them break them for that reason. I have one thing. I can't say that I was suffering in that way with our children, but I also think that sometimes we try to separate home and church. And when you do that, you run into a wall because your home is a church. Church, remember, church is the body of Christ. And it isn't just coming to another place. It should be, there should be worship and there should be communication in your home about the Lord. It should be part of your life as you rise up, as you lay down, as you go about your day. And that's what the Bible says. It has to be. You have to live what you say you believe. And when you do that, you are having church in your home. And kids see that. And so going to another place to do the same thing is a joy because they see their friends, they get plugged in, they have their own life. I think if you try to, be at home and then, come to church, be careful that you're not separating the two. Because that, when you do that, you're something at home that you're not at church. And then you're phony. And that translates into, I must be phony to children, to teenagers. If you start when your children are small and you're consistent in who you are, you're humble in who you are, you won't have a 13-year-old that is, trying to text on the phone or whatever, because they'll be engaged in what's going on around them.
Our situation was a little bit different. Our kids did go through that. Even though we still wanted to be here, but sometimes the attitude during the teaching, sorry, Pastor Paul, but during the teaching and their slouch and their joy on the heat, they just didn't look like they wanted to be here. Sometimes you don't know what's going on in the head of your kids, or in their hearts, for that matter. And sometimes all you can do is pray. But it's out of our hands, which most everything in life is. We just think we have control. We just say, Lord, touch the heart. And I'm fully convinced that during the preteen years, up until maybe 17, know that growth spurs our strong boys and they go from four feet, whatever it is, 4 feet, nothing, to 6.5 feet. I'm convinced that their body grows and their brain is left behind. I'm absolutely convinced. They just become an intensified part. You can have that 16-year-old and they're the smartest person in the world. But if you let them become the research by God's Spirit, you know what? They don't know anything. They don't know squat. So, you have to be patient. If you have kids that are in the teens or approaching, you got to be patient. You got to know God's in control. So, if you can have that opportunity to sow in, like Matthew was talking about, if you don't have small kids and you're kind of after the fact trying to get them to do the right things, God's still going to open your heart. You have to trust that. It's funny because then after 17, it's a fabulous life. They move out, they get married, they experience life, and then mom and dad become just a little bit smarter. And now my kids, two of them at least, the third one, they all come back and say, thank you. Thank you for being consistent. Thank you for making us attend church on a regular basis. Thank you that we could see that we were perfect. My kids will tell you they were perfect, especially Dad. But they'll tell you that we love to go to church and we love the Lord. And so they get that. And so if they were able to get anything, that's what we wanted to get. So, anyway. So that's kind of the bottom line. Do you guys have questions? And if you don't, ask them anyway.
Yes, we would talk about, you know, either a Bible story. I got to have lots of resources, or I use something from Bible study. I've been involved in Bible study for a long time. And so I would take whatever I was learning and it would spill out onto the family. And if, you know, moms, if you're not involved in Bible study, you need to be, because whatever you're taking in, it just spills out onto your kids and to your husband, too. And so, it would start like that, and then we would talk, or they would ask questions, and then they would all go to their rooms. And I insisted that they be quiet. So if, there was a time when kids had to share rooms, we had a very small house, and I did not allow any giggling or goofing off. There was no toys involved. It was quiet, and they had to be quiet for an hour. And really, and seriously, all four kids have come back and said how valuable that was.
So you're saying that you were somewhat consistent, you did things sporadically. You know, so you kind of changed what you were doing. You know, the idea I've done over the years, you know, for a season we did the prayer box, and I think you guys heard Kat mention, you know, we would hear of things that maybe some other families were doing and we tried. Does this work for them? The family dynamic in all our homes is different. And you know what? It may only work during a certain age for your kids. They're all, you know, God doesn't waste anything. It builds on it. It builds on the things that you're teaching them. And, you know, the other thing I'd encourage you, we don't somehow miss, I'm not even careful how to say this, we don't miss the ultimate opportunity to teach that lesson. You know, there are a lot of things that I learned later as I was raising kids. And as I learned them, and God revealed those to me, or I became a discoverer and was able to actually even more like the case was, I sat with the kids down at that time and said, this is what God just showed me. And, you know, what you guys that were still in on Saturday, I didn't know. You know, so you always have those teaching opportunities. And even as the kids got older, if I was stuck in that God was on the matter and was passionate about it, I'm sure every single one of them heard it. You know, and, you know, one time it was writing an encouraging letter to my kids, or writing a letter to tell them I love them. Because as a dad, sometimes we forget. You know, kids are little things that at least I can tell me. So I would write letters to my kids, you know, or whatever, you know, other things that, maybe things I was lacking, you know, lacking. So I'd say that, you know, no opportunity or no moments, you know, I don't think you're wasting that. I'm trying to be consistent. Sometimes somebody say, okay, such and such day of the week, we're going to do, and that's what, actually, that's what Kathy was trying to do. I'm more like flying on the scene. This is what we're going to do. When you're still guilty, see, if you make a label mistake, you feel guilty when you don't do it. And that's what I'm trying to say is, don't fall into that trap. It's that, don't feel legalistic. Oh, what's that? Certain things would work for your home, certain things work for our home. This is not a list of if you do this. That's not what this is, just giving you some ideas of things that work in our homes. I just stress that we are all different, all of our families have differences, and there are some that where there's one right there, and there's some that you both of you have to. Are coming for a day. And so not everything is going to happen. Sometimes when only one is working, that one may be away from home. One of them is generally the husband. And as it was in our case, we tried several other different things. We had the books that had life lessons with them. They stretch, you know, and we do that at supper time, and then we go and we are always together at supper. And so some of those things work for a while. Others, but, and you're going to find the same things, right? Some of the things are, and you just have to know that some of it will get your family and some of it may not. But I just want to encourage your husbands, especially if you're working alone and your wife has a lot of the responsibility of the teachings, hold them up in prayer, put them up in prayer, and be very dependent. And if you're not around, it's such as my role. I supported her in every way, but she spent a good deal of the time with the kids, at least till they got to an age to come, where they come to work where I was, and they come to take us. something new.